Hey friends, we're back in the Lord's Prayer today because it really is a practical daily prayer. Also, we have a bunch of questions like, what does it mean to keep God's name holy in my day-to-day life? How can I see God's kingdom here today and actually live in it? How is God's kingdom the antidote for all my anxiety? Is excessive knee-jerk volunteerism a thing? Asking for a friend. And can Jesus show me what it actually means to walk through life seeking God's will above my own? It's a packed episode, friends. There's so much good stuff here, and we hope you find that it makes your day just a little lighter. Enjoy!
All right, hi everyone.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to Light in Your Corner.
We're glad to be back again with you guys.
We are. It's been like a really busy last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for your patience with us.
Yeah. So, and you've had, I think, more going on physically, having to be in more places and juggle more things schedule-wise. I've just been, mentally scattered. I don't really have a ton of things that are, like, vying for my time, necessarily. I just have been mentally exhausted from trying to figure out what I'm supposed to be doing. So,
which, yeah. I mean, you're allowed that in different seasons, for sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know. And I keep reminding myself that, you know, things take time. So, mm-hmm. I need to have proper expectations mm-hmm. of myself. So
exactly. Yep.
Before we get into the kingdom of God today, mm-hmm. which, by the way, I've, like, been spending a lot of time reading. Like, it's been coming up in, like, a lot of different things I've been reading and listening to. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I want the kingdom. I want his kingdom right now.
I know.
So, like, it's been good for me. But
yeah.
I was just curious because this is what happened to me. I got the newest Anthony Horowitz book came out.
Okay.
And I
had remind been me, Anthony Horowitz is
so
what
he
does he
writes,
write? Which series?
He writes British mysteries. It's the word is murder, the sentence is death. I don't know. It's like they're all Daniel Hawthorne murder mysteries, but the author, Anthony, is a character in the book. He is like the Watson.
Okay.
And his...
I know I've read something by him, but I couldn't remember what.
So he has written... He is actually a children's author. Hmm. And then he's written... did you read Moriarty? That Sherlock Holmes?
So.
Oh, House of Silk?
Yes.
Did you read that?
Yes.
Okay, so he wrote that. And he wrote, Moriarty, and he is now writing some, like, James Bond books.
Okay.
Because the Ian Fleming estate has asked him to write some James Bond books. So anyway.
Interesting.
He's brilliant, and he writes for television, which, you know, like, if you write for TV, you can write some really good novels. Mm-hmm. Like the Thursday Murder
Club. The dialogue, then, is good.
Yeah. It's just, like, phenomenal. And his character as Watson, he presents himself in a way where he just doesn't get respect from people, and it's hilarious. Like, he's constantly being slighted. Yes, he's constantly being slighted, and it's very funny. So, anyway, that book came out on the 16th, and I remembered that it was coming out, and I am almost completely done with it in, like, 3 days. Because
holy cow.
I hate when this happens, when a new book, audiobook comes out. Mm-hmm. It's like the same thing with the Robert Galbraith, the
yes.
Cameron Strike books.
Yep.
You're just like, yes. And then it comes out and you just, like, binge it.
I know, like 20 hours straight almost.
Yeah. And then you're like, dang it.
I know. Now it's
done.
All
and I have to wait a full year. So.
I totally am that way too. I know. There's a lot of those books that I get that way about.
Oh, I just really do love those books. So anyway, I do that with the Thursday Murder Club books by Richard Osman too. And anyway, So that is the book I've been listening to that has kind of given me a break from trying to think of all of the weightier issues. But now it's almost over, so now I have to re-listen to it or something. I don't know.
I have been that way. I don't know if you listen to the Joe Pickett books at all.
No.
The Joe Pickett series.
No, I'm going to write it down.
I don't know that you would love it as much as I do. Okay. I mean, maybe you would. It's like he's a game warden in Wyoming.
Okay.
And he always ends up like doing the right thing, even though no one wants him to do it. And it's like way harder to do it that way and whatever,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But those books are so good. I love those books.
Oh, maybe
there's like 20 of them, Lauren. So I just finished the 22nd or 23rd or whatever, like the most recent one. And I'm like, now I have to wait.
Who are they by?
CJ Box.
Okay. I've seen that name.
I really like the Joe Pickett series. Yeah.
Okay. So I think my mom would really like that too. I probably would. Maybe I would. But my mom grew up in Montana.
So oh yeah. She would totally love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything that happens in the West.
Yeah. She would love it. I bet.
She's all over it.
Okay, even my kids like listening to it with me too. The Joe Pickett books. We, okay. It is a frequent. Mostly.
It's not Cormoran Strike, so it's fine.
Right, yeah.
Because those are not appropriate.
No. Yes. It's like semi-appropriate.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have recently listened to a couple books where it seems pretty appropriate, and then I'll put it on just to listen to it when the kids are still in the room, but like it's been fine. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as the kids start listening to it, something happens, and I'm like, holy cow! That happened with All the Light We Cannot See.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
For the most part, it's fine. Mm-hmm. And then there's one scene where you know that something terrible is happening. And it's dealt with so subtly that the, like, Heidi would probably never even realize what happened.
Yeah.
But, like, Grady understands what's going on. Edie's got some questions. I'm like, no! Nothing like this has happened the entire time.
I did love that book, though. That book is super good.
It was a good book. Mm-hmm. It really was.
Yep.
So. And that's one of those books that sometimes when I finish it, I'm like, I did it. I just, like, feel like I accomplished something.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, did you... Yeah. Watch the show that they made of that one?
No.
There is a show.
I have not.
And it's pretty well done.
Okay.
So I read that book and I liked it, but it had been like a while ago. And then I saw there was a new show out, whatever, All the Light You Cannot See. I was like, I'm pretty sure I read that book. And it was like coming back to me in pieces as, you know, we were watching the show. But yes. Tony liked the show too, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think my mom said she tried to read the book or listen to the book, but it moved a little too slow for her. So maybe she would. But is it on Netflix? I feel like it's on Netflix.
Or Hulu. I don't remember. It was one of those. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe if she has that, maybe then she'd like it that way.
She might.
So, yeah.
I just thought we should. It's one of those limited series shows. So there's like 6 episodes or 4 episodes or something. I don't remember, but.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can spend some time on it. I will say that Edie got into the Harry Potter books, you know, finally.
She just did?
She did. Like,
oh.
Honestly, like a month ago.
Mm.
Maybe 2 months ago, she read all the books in a month, probably. And
I'm not judging. I didn't get into them until college, and I really
yes. read them all and then you're like, oh, quickly. My gosh. Where are these? I have to say, I find it fascinating that those books are so engaging every time. Like, I, you know, like you reread it and you're like, oh yeah, this happened. And you know what's going to happen. And you still don't care because you just
know
these characters so much.
Agreed. But yeah, Brody and I, when we read them back through together, I was like, oh, I couldn't wait for bedtime to read the story with them.
Yes.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
But we have had to say, okay, so the first time you read through them, you got so into them that the world around you was just more of an annoyance.
Mm.
And we need to not have that happen again. Like, we need you to
be here.
Be
still.
Okay. Be like in the Muggle world. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't want to be a muggle either, to be honest. I don't. But
I think that is easy to happen, though, with series, you know, or like anything where you can dive in. Yeah, I guess I think of books as like less of a danger thing than, you know, getting sucked into TV shows or video games or something, because it's
right
your own mind as opposed to watching someone else's picture of it or something.
Yeah.
Like it's more imaginative or something, so it's positive and healthy. But I think anything, if you dive so deep into it, that, yeah, regular things seem less important, you know?
Yeah.
I know, I've been there so many times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When Edie read The Hunger Games, she was a ball of misery for the entire time. She loved those books so much, and they are good and engaging and whatever, but, like,
it's she's, like, very, feeling the things that they're
she's
feeling.
She's so empathetic. She's just, like, absorbing all the emotion and the strife and turmoil, and I'm like, you gotta stop.
You really I get it.
Pull yourself back.
Tony was just telling me the other day, I feel like your mood shifts based on the books that you're listening to.
It's true. Like,
I'm sure it does.
It's true. I you know, and I've told you before that there have been times where I'm like, I have to stop reading this book for just a little bit, or I have to like piece it out little by little, because otherwise I will internalize it and it will give me anxiety attacks. It will, like, it's not necessarily I'm having anxiety about anything in the book, but like then I'm just like in a perpetual state of unrest because I'm like, terrible things are happening in a book.
I know. I get it. I do.
I'm like, this is going on in the world. Everybody must be doing this terrible thing.
Oh. So,
I just thought we should talk about a little bit about what we're reading, because,
yeah,
you know, yeah, some good stuff. There's good stuff.
Well, and then here, I'll segue us into the thing that we're talking about today. So what we were just saying about getting really wrapped up in stories and books and how that can shift our mood for the present, right? It's about perception, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what you're thinking about, what you're focusing on in your head is what you then see around you on some level, you know?
Yes, yeah.
And that can also be the case with the kingdom of heaven, I think.
Mm-hmm. How so?
You know, where you can, if you are absorbed in the word every day, if you are actively searching and seeking him, I think you're going to see him at work around you in a lot of different ways than you do if that's not your perception or the lens that you're looking at life through, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I, on a related note, that reminded me that I think I sent you that Instagram reel about, like, it was a Lego from the Lego Batman movie when it says,
I don't know if I've watched it.
When I prioritize reading my Bible every day, and then he's going, and everything wasn't darkness, and everything wasn't terrible. And I was like, yeah, because when I prioritize reading my Bible, it's amazing how much more light there is in my life. Oh, my gosh. And the people you surround yourself with. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like I've had to desperately dive into the Bible frequently over the last few months. And obviously that's sufficient. But that God uses people too. Mm-hmm. So I have had to so very desperately dive into the Bible because I haven't had the constant weekly, daily interaction with God's people outside of my family.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you speak light into my life. And I was sitting here thinking today about how I've taken for granted just the impact of having a lot of really fabulous people intimately involved in my life. I mean, it's just a whole network of just so I'm still looking for that of people, spiritually mature people,
right,
in my
speaking
life.
Into that
speaking into it intentionally. So,
and I think that is, I mean, in its best form, that's what the church is to be to each other, you know.
Yeah
But it is hard to sometimes plug in and find those folks, you know?
Mm-hmm. And if you think that you can go it alone,
no,
best of luck to you. Actually, not best of luck to you. It is not worth it, and it doesn't work. So just give it up, really.
You know what's really interesting, too? I feel like I could say this. So I recently had a discussion with someone who isn't a Christian, who they were saying, like, you know, I feel like I'm fine doing this without thinking about a higher power, without any of that, because I'm a pretty stubborn person, you know, and I can just, like, make things happen or, like, decide I'm going to be this way and it's just going to be that way. And I was like, well, we can agree to disagree and we can still be friends and think differently about this. But if you ever get to a spot where you feel like that's not working for you, let me know.
That's a stronger person than I am, because I definitely cannot do that. Definitely. Oh, that's interesting. But if we look at the kingdom of God, and I have it pulled up here, we're looking at, I just have the Matthew 6 verses up here. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I don't mean to skip over the hallowed be your name part.
And I'm I think we talked about that last time, though, didn't we?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we could dive into it if we needed to, or if we wanted to, but
maybe we'll take a second here. How do you feel like you? How do you feel like that's best served in your life? Like, where do you feel like you're really worshiping God in the way that you should?
Like keeping his name holy?
I guess when I hear hallowed be your name, I mean, that's exactly what it means, is keeping his name holy. But I think of it more in a worship sense, like giving him that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I looked it up in the catechism, because the catechism was on my table, because Edie's going through confirmation.
Yeah.
And it was talking about, like, just honoring God in our speech. So that can be during worship, but then also I think maybe, like, being, maybe it colors our speech in our thankfulness and in our lack of, it did not say this in the catechism. It just said that his name would be holy among us. But I would think then that grumbling would not fall under that, for sure.
Right.
And not cursing our neighbor. And instead, gratefulness. I have found that hallowed be your name, like something about God, there is something about speaking God's name that, like, do you feel an emotional response when you do that? Like, if you're in a position where you actually say the word Jesus out loud, have you ever felt, like, some sort of emotional power or release? Or, and granted, this is based on feelings, but...
Right. I mean, the Bible says that... I can't remember exactly where it says it or how it says it. You would know better than I would, but that there's power in Jesus' name, you know? I don't know. Don't the disciples, if they're casting out demons or something, they say in Jesus' name, don't they?
Right.
So yeah. I think there's definitely a power to that for sure. I don't know. Sometimes when you're praying, doesn't it sort of just like in you want to say it like in Jesus' name, you know, please do these things, or
right.
care for this person, or, you know, it feels like it's one of those things where when you're in this moment of desperation, that's what wants to come out of your mouth, you know?
Yeah. I want to say, I think it was Beth Moore was talking about being at a women's conference and something happened. A woman had an emergency. I don't know if she was going into seizures or something. I don't know. They started speaking the name Jesus over and over and over again. I don't know anything about that story other than that. But I know that I have felt in times where I have been very, very afraid of a real threat or a perceived threat, that I have just had to say Jesus over and over again. Like, even a few nights ago when I was having a hard time falling asleep, thinking about all the things I had to keep saying, but you have Jesus. But I'd say, but I have Jesus. So this can happen, but I still have Jesus. This can happen, but I still have Jesus. That person can do that, but I still have Jesus. So it's like, no matter what comes at me, I still have Jesus. Mm-hmm. And there was something about saying like that out loud that brought me a lot of comfort.
Yeah.
I used to have these night terrors where I would, like, I just could feel some, this sounds so woo-woo. It was like,
let's dive into it, Lauren. I'm here for it.
And this is a phenomenon that I have heard of before, but I could swear that I've heard of as an adult where I was like, oh my gosh, this happens to other people too. Mm. Where it's like part of your brain is awake and part of your brain is asleep. Mm-hmm. And so your part of your brain is sensing stuff around you, but you literally cannot move. So I would feel paralyzed. Mm-hmm. I could not move my body, but I could sense things around me. And there's a term for it. I don't even know what it is, but
that is a real thing, because your body is essentially paralyzed when you're dreaming, I think, to keep you from. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I was, and in those moments, I would be so terrified because I could swear there was something spiritual happening around me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe there was, maybe there wasn't. That's not the point. The point is I would do everything in my power to speak the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Everything. Because I was in so much terror. And going back to your thing about worship, singing songs, singing God's name, there is something about that that is incredibly comforting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But it's only comforting if you, if you do hold God's name as holy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
if your heart
if it is something that is set apart, there's great comfort in that.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's
interesting. When I was a kid, I would have, I still do. I have super vivid dreams. It's one of those sort of defining things about me where I could get up every day and probably write a screenplay or something, you know?
Right.
Always make sense. It kind of interesting, but I remember one time as a kid, I'd had a really strong fever or something. I don't remember. It was well over 100, really. I remember my mom was kind of afraid, and I had gone to bed and I could feel the devil was chasing me, you know, that dark presence. You know, and I was trying to turn around and say, when I finally turned around, because I got blocked in a corner.
Yeah.
And I said Jesus' name, and then I woke up and my fever had broken and whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was super vivid. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm here for it. I totally get it.
Yeah. I mean, all I know is Scott's done house blessings. There's something to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We don't know all the spiritual realms of things that are happening.
We do not.
And which also ties us into the kingdom stuff, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this, your kingdom come, I've so very much been praying for it recently, since I've been hearing about it. One thing I did was, for some reason, I don't know why, I got onto the Bible Project podcast.
Mm.
It's very similar to our format.
The way that they
talk, it's hilarious because if we were a little more scholarly and maybe a little less down the rabbit hole, is they're talking through things. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then John's asking Tim okay, so what do you mean by that? And Tim's like, well, I think it's this. And he's like, well, from this, you know, because you're so used to watching the Bible Project videos, right? Where they can summarize an entire book of the Bible in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And with the really cool drawings. The themes. Yes. Yeah. And it's amazing. So if you guys haven't used the Bible Project, I mean, there's some really cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then you just think, well, these guys are just astounding.
Mm-hmm.
And then you listen to them talk to each other, and they're still astounding, but you hear the process of them going through all of it, so it makes it a little less intimidating.
Yeah.
I'd say.
I like that.
Anyway, But they talked about the kingdom of God, and I had been reading Brandt's book, Life is Hard, God is Good, Let's Dance. And then I
what
was
do you think of that one, by the way?
I like it.
Okay.
I have found that for this point in my life, this very specific season, it is very much speaking to me. Oh. Actually, I finished it yesterday, and I cried in the last chapter.
Okay.
So I don't think it hits me quite as hard as some of the other ones do, but it's been a good reminder that God's kingdom is still, it's here now, you know, it's in the future, but that God's kingdom is happening right now, and that we don't have anything to be afraid of.
Right.
So the whole premise being life is hard, period. God is good, period. It acknowledges the hardness of things that people are going through, but it also, God is good is the greater reality, even now. So some of those nights where I was having a hard time sleeping, I would pick up that book and read a chapter. The last chapter I cried, but maybe I just felt like crying too. I don't know, but it made me cry. The kingdom come, your kingdom come is hard for us because, we have our own perspective on things. We don't spend a lot of time really pondering how a kingdom actually works because we don't live in a kingdom.
Right.
you know, we vote for people and at least it seems like we have more agency over what happens.
I was going to say, I feel like there could be an argument there, but I'm not going to make it.
I feel like there are enough conspiracy theories that probably pan out and probably end up being true. But we at least have the illusion of agency.
Yes.
You know, we do have power over, I would say more, I would look more to local government as far as, you know.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about earlier, yeah, you know, like town hall meetings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't perceive that happening so much in a kingdom.
Right.
But anyway, yeah. So it's a little bit harder for us to wrap our minds around being in a kingdom. But to note that kingdom even today means something that different than it did back in biblical times. So in the Bible, when it says the word kingdom, it's not talking about any geographical place necessarily. It's talking about God's action. So God's reign. So it's when we ask for God's kingdom to come, we're asking for him to rule over us.
Did you always think that that's what that meant?
I don't know. I think maybe for a while there, you know, obviously I think to some extent.
Sure.
But maybe I just want Jesus to come back. I don't know.
I think as a younger person and as a kid, I thought it meant Jesus coming back. And I think I thought it meant heaven. Someday I'll be in heaven, you know?
And I think
so it's like just sort of brand new to me to be thinking I'm living in his kingdom here. Like this is brand new to me to think that way, you know?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Because it doesn't always look like we would be living in God's kingdom just because of how people treat each other, including us. Like how, and I know that churches use the terms like bringing heaven down to earth kind of thing. Maybe that ties in with the next little petition, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that kind of thing. So we always say those pretty, you know, right back to back. So I feel like they kind of mesh together. I had this weird thought when I was listening to the Bible Project talk about it, because we say the common table prayer, come Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let thy gifts to us be blessed. Amen. Right. And so my brother, first of all, gives me a lot of crap because I say thy, And we're always talking about how nobody says thy anymore, Lauren. And so he says these, and it's a whole thing, right? That is, like, the nature of the argument. Mm-hmm. I say it has to be thy because it's your, it's God's gifts to us. Anyway, but I was like, maybe we should switch up that prayer. Because while I want Jesus to come and be our guest, it kind of puts me in a position of host, and I don't want to be the host. I want God to be the host. Like, I don't know. Obviously, I want to serve God, but, like, I want him to come in. If Jesus is coming into my house, I'm letting him do whatever he wants, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'll serve you like Martha if you want me to. Yeah. Or I'll sit there like Mary and let you be the one in charge. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like trying to come up with other prayers. It's way too late in the game. I can't teach old dogs new tricks, but I'm like, come Lord Jesus, be our host.
Okay. Like, all right.
And then I was like, and bring your friend the Holy Ghost. No, that's not going to work. But
I feel like it works. I think we should adopt it. I do.
Bring your friend. I just, you know. But yeah. So then what does that look like? If I'm praying for God's kingdom to come, what does his kingdom look like? And, I mean, we can look at the first. It doesn't use kingdom, but he set up a garden. And that garden was full of beauty and trust and peace and provision.
Yeah.
And that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So how then, if I'm looking at the individual things, like how is God bringing beauty into my life? How can I be a part of that?
Right.
How can I bring beauty into other people's lives? How can I show them God's provision? How can I provide, you know, mm-hmm. How can God provide through me? How can, I don't know. I'm going through all this. And then how can I look at how God is providing for me? I don't know. That's something I'm just still wrestling with.
Yeah.
Because there are so many needs. So in this little corner of the universe that God has given me, how is he providing? What does it look like for his kingdom to be in my house? And what does it look like for his kingdom to come into our schools? And what does it look for his kingdom to come into our church, into our neighborhood? You know?
Yeah.
And then how can I be a part of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. I feel like, yes, I have had spent a lot of time kind of pondering on that, you know? Mm-hmm. And not just pondering, because I tend to not just ponder, but, you know.
You tend to be like, yeah, I'll do it. Sure.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's bring it in.
We should have been doing this yesterday. Let's move this forward.
You're like, I will make that phone call. I will make this happen. So.
Yeah. It is. Yes. I love seeing God's kingdom come in River Falls, in my house, in, you know, and I think that there are seasons where I start to lose sight of that and I start to stop thinking about that. And I think that is directly linked with burnout, with,
yes.
What's the term that we had talked about? When you're like emotionally spent,
compassion fatigue.
Yes, compassion. Boy, you're batting 1,000 today, Lauren.
I am on it. This is what happens when I guess we take a week off and I can sort out my mental issues for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm like, Lauren, what's that word? And you're just coming up with it left and right.
I've been waiting for it. I know what it is. Call on me. I know.
It's like that meme that you sent me on Instagram too with Emma Stone and Andrew Garfield, where she's trying to get the word out and he's just like, yes, yes, no. She's never clearly articulates what she's trying to say and he knows where she's going. That's you and me, Lauren.
Yay, it's perfect. And there's a reason I sent that to you.
Anyway, I think that those things are all linked. Compassion fatigue, burnout, and taking your eye off the ball when it comes to seeing God's kingdom here.
Right. Do you think that happens because we stop seeking the kingdom and instead we kind of seek our own kingdom? Like, mm-hmm. Okay, God, you pointed the way. Now I know what needs to happen.
Yep.
So then it becomes like about, okay, I can get this done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a piece of it. But I think, yes, so maybe that's step one of it. But then you start mm-hmm. seeing the things that you're doing, or you start maybe feeling your own insecurities about mm-hmm. something, or, you know, it's just, yes. it ends up being less inspired, less fun, I think. When right. you're trying to do it without him. Or you stop noticing yeah. the things he's doing, you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's not as much fun. If you're not doing really it together, not. You know?
It's
yeah.
really not. I'm gonna look this up too, because mm-hmm. in Matthew, so he teaches the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, as part of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. Mm-hmm. And then later on, I think it's just the next chapter. No, it's in the same one. It's at the end of Matthew 6 when okay. he goes into that long thing about anxiety. Do not be anxious. Yes. You know, why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies. If mm-hmm. God clothes the grass of the field, you know, all that kind of stuff. And he ends it with well, he doesn't totally end it with, but basically. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Yep.
So there's something about the kingdom, seeking that first, that kind of lets... If we're seeking the kingdom, then we can, first of all, obviously be less anxious, but then it helps us not get burned out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because then we're not focusing on all the little details and also our inability to control all the little details, because we really right. can't, you know.
No. Yeah.
I think of you now every time that whole consider the lilies of the field, consider the birds of the air, because since you do take the time to go walk your dogs and stuff like that, that is that moment. You're doing exactly what Jesus said to do. Like, go mm-hmm. walk your dog and look around. You know, I feel like today, if he came especially to our area where everybody is out with dogs 24/7, I feel like River Falls was pretty similar. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like Jesus would be like, take your dog for a walk
yep.
and look around
right.
at all the yep. things I'm taking care of without your help, to be mm-hmm. honest. So, mm-hmm.
which is totally why I have, you know. My mom will hate this when she listens to this, but trying to redesign my tattoo to include a sparrow, because I really want to have, you know,
yes,
a reminder that the things yeah. that he cares for and takes care of that we don't do, you know?
Yes, that mm-hmm. we don't do. And so if we're praying your kingdom come, and we're thinking, okay, how can we help bring the kingdom? But also then, how can we let other people bring the kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
To us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So maybe.
Yes,
maybe
we're not the only ones that he's working with or working on. Yeah.
Right, right. So can I bring beauty in this moment? Maybe this moment doesn't call for my particular brand of beauty. Mm-hmm. Maybe mm-hmm. I'm going to let someone else speak into this. Maybe I'm going to let someone else take the reins on this, because he's gifted them mm-hmm. with the ability to provide in this situation in a better way than I can at this moment.
And that's kind of humbling sometimes, isn't it?
Yes.
At least it is for me. Yeah.
Yes.
You mean you're not going to use me for this? But I'm right here. But I'm literally right here.
I have this problem, this chronic issue of walking into places and thinking I should work there. like not every place, like not the DMV, but sometimes I've gone to the DMV and I'm like, I could do this. I mean, you guys could use my help. And then, not at Aldi. I don't ever think that at Aldi. But there are, yeah, it is a humbling thing to be like, maybe for a second, I'm just going to appreciate what God's already doing here through all these people.
Yeah. No, that is so funny, because very frequently when I see a volunteer opportunity, then I think that my husband would attest to this, because, you know, it wouldn't be any money making ventures that I would be.
No, never. Scott's always like, I'm like, maybe I should volunteer at the Nature Center. And he's like, okay. I'm just saying, if you're spending all your energy, maybe we could be compensated for it somehow. I don't know. I'm like, I could volunteer for this. He's like, I know, you and your volunteering. I'm like, I know. I'm trying.
I get it. 100%.
You and I both. As we sit here on our podcast, recording, volunteering our opinions.
Yes.
On everything.
On everything. Tony was like, how many hours do you do the podcast a week? Like, let's not talk about it. That's not really important. That's not.
Because like any job, it's not, and this isn't a job, I feel like, but right. It's never just that, the moment that everyone sees. It's the before preparation and the after production, mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. But it's funny. Yeah. You and me. But see, this, I don't know about you, but this feeds me.
Me too. Big time. Yeah.
Because like I said this morning, I was like, oh, thank God I'm podcasting today, because I need Monica time.
Well, and our hope is that it feeds other people then too, right?
Yes. Yes. So, because we love you guys.
We do.
And so since we do the Your Kingdom Come, Your Will Be Done on Earth as It Is in Heaven. So this is the end of the first section, the first half of the prayer, which is regarding heavenly things, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. then we'll go into give us this day our daily bread and all that kind of stuff, more earthly relationship type stuff. When I read Your Will Be Done on Earth as It Is in Heaven, I thought about how Jesus lived this out. Mm-hmm. Because I do want God's will to be done, because mm-hmm. it is the best. Like, that is the best thing. And I know God's will is going to be done, but I want it done in me as well. And I don't want to be getting in the way and fighting his will. Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. that's part of this prayer is like, get me out of the way of your will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You
know? Yep. And I think of how Jesus in the garden was like, if there's another way, let's do that.
Yeah.
But not what I will, what you will.
Right.
And Jesus very specifically prays, okay, but not my will, your will. And then he sees his own will not be done. Like, mm-hmm. if there's something else we can do, like he sees God choose the hard way.
Right.
You know?
Yep. Because but the better way.
Best. But the better way.
Yeah.
And I just took comfort in that because I want to will my own mm-hmm. stuff.
Oh, yeah. We all do. We very much all do, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And to see Jesus face the fact that God is going to choose the harder mm-hmm. path for him initially, but that he is going to not just redeem it, but he's going to save the whole world through that, then that makes it maybe a little bit easier for me to go, okay, but not my will, your will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I've now seen evidence of how Jesus prays and handles that. Mm-hmm. And he says that throughout his ministry. He's like, you can't bother me with your opinion because I'm not even doing my own will. I'm doing the Father's will.
Yeah.
I'm doing the will of him who sent me. Like, everything is, I am submitting to the Father's will. So even all the things that I'm facing, it doesn't even matter because I'm mm-hmm. I'm doing God's will.
Yeah.
And that's what I want so bad.
Yeah.
You know.
It's funny. I feel like as we get older, maybe mm-hmm. we are more secure in who God has made us to be. So if we come off as like a crazy person or not quite right, or, you know, maybe we didn't share that opinion in, you know, the exact theological way, like,
yeah.
It's his will. I mean, he's going to do with it what he will.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So we don't have to be perfect about this. We don't have to, you know.
Right.
He can still use that. So in recent times, we have been doing interviews for new pastors coming into Lutheran Memorial. And there have been times that we've been asked questions and I just am like, and then later I'm like, God, I should have said it this way, or I could have said that, and that would have been a better representation of this. And, oh, you know, and I think, how old are you that you're still struggling with this? Let it go, you know?
I do that sometimes when I listen back to the podcast and I'm to make notes and stuff like that for us posting. And I'm like, oh, Lauren, come on. And then it's like, you know what? It's fine.
He's going to do what he will with it. You know?
He's going to use it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's going to use it. We don't want to be careless, but he's going to use it. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
His will be done, whether we, you know, say everything right or we don't. So.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the best. I mean, it's the best thing.
Yep.
I had looked up different verses that have to do with the kingdom of God. I mean, in Matthew 3, John the Baptist says, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. Then in Matthew 4, Jesus says, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. Mm. This is good news.
Okay, so in that instance, John the Baptist, when he says, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near, he's talking about Jesus.
Yes.
Right? So then when Jesus says,
repent. He's also talking about himself.
He's here. Yeah. He's like, I'm right here. I don't know. When I'm hear here, that, guys. I think that still sounds mysterious. Like, what God is doing is here or something. I guess it's the same thing. You know, but.
Yes. So this repent, this turning around, it's. All right, things are going in a new direction. Probably the direction they should have been going all along, by the way, which is submitting to what God says, which got turned completely around in the garden the second that fruit was eaten.
Yep.
Now this is the way this is the way humanity really is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And it's starting right now, and God's rescue plan that we have been waiting for, it's here. And this is good news. So you guys have been waiting for thousands of years for this, and now it's here. Mm-hmm. So,
do you know what I picture with this? I picture like Jesus on a train, you know, and it's like the movie version where they're like running alongside the train, and he's like,
"Yeah,
come on, get in here,
I'm here," and they're all like running with their arms out, and he's like pulling them into the car. Oh, that's funny. That's a good visual. Now I'll have that in my head. Come on, guys.
I mean, could he stop the train? Yeah, but
yeah,
you know,
he would like jump out, grab him, and then he would grab the thing. And
there you go. That's probably a better.
That's it. That's
because it couldn't be on our own power of running.
He's like hopping out, grab. Maybe he's just throwing us in. He's running and throwing people in. We did it. And then we're like, look what I did.
Yeah. See how great I am?
See how awesome I am? I flew right in here. Oh my gosh.
That's really funny.
When I listen to the Bible Project talk about the kingdom of God. So first of all, Jesus talks about this, I guess, more than anything else. If I'm to believe everything I've heard about the kingdom of God, this is what Jesus talks about more than anything. And he talks about it in parables, like the man who discovers the treasure hidden in the field and sells everything for that field.
To buy the field.
Yeah.
Or the pearl of a great value, and then he sells everything and buys the one pearl. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So he talks about this quite a bit. The Bible Project, the guys were talking about how it's basically like God was like, he created Eden and it was like the party. It's where everyone, they were talking about the favor of God. But they were talking about how it's like this great feast. That's mm-hmm. what the kingdom of God is. It's a place where you are in fellowship with people. Everyone's just trusting the host, and the host is providing, you know, and we're all just kind of like passing things around, you know, because the mm-hmm. host is coming back and he's got plenty of stuff for all of us. Mm-hmm. Then in Eden at the fall, that trust is completely broken. And so now all of us are living, I think this was their scarcity abundance mindset. Now okay. it's, I don't know that the host is coming back. I don't really trust that he is. So I'm just going to take all of my stuff and I'm going to go into another room.
Mm.
And
to keep it for myself. So no one takes the things that I need.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I'll pick the select few people who are part of my tribe and we can all just go in there, you know, and mm-hmm. judge everybody else or whatever. Mm-hmm. And somehow, and that's kind of the story of humanity, right? Is like me getting the resources, the provision, because I don't necessarily trust that it's going to come from the host. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, they were talking about that with the abundance and scarcity mindset. But when we're praying for God's kingdom to come, it's a prayer of trusting that the host is going to provide. Oh, how did they put it? This turn of phrase that we are being hosted by a generous host. Like our time here in this universe was created by a generous host who wants to provide out of his abundance. Mm. And I think it's when we're praying your kingdom come, it's finding evidence of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then also providing evidence and living with that abundance mindset, which we've talked about before.
Yep.
You know, I can't bring or help bring the kingdom if I am so very worried that I don't have enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yep. And that's where it can really help. I mean, like, really, obviously to pray, obviously, but also right. to be in the word mm-hmm. and just see repeatedly how God has provided, not just for our salvation then, but how he provided all throughout history, you know?
Yep. Yep. For us, so many people. Yeah.
Yeah. He intervenes.
Mm-hmm. Well, then it goes back to the, you know, birds of the air and lilies mm-hmm. of the field, you know?
Right. One of the verses I found was Romans 14:17, and it said, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit."
Hmm.
And that line came in the midst of him talking about how we treat each other.
Yeah.
As regard, because he's talking about eating and drinking, because there were so many divisions of what you're allowed to eat, what you're not allowed to eat, when you're allowed sure. dinner, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's saying that's not what clean the kingdom of heaven is about. Yes. Yeah. But it's about righteousness and peace and joy. And I was like, that's the kingdom.
Right. Those things that's are it. Better, right?
That's yeah. That's what I'm looking for. So mm-hmm. just bring that.
Yep.
And that
yeah,
means
it's
that,
about yeah, the kingdom I feel like is about receiving, and it's also about searching and seeking, and then it's also about giving. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a all-encompassing.
Because
mm-hmm. we're citizens of this kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So then how do you live as a citizen of that kingdom?
Right. You participate. And by participating, mm-hmm. you're not just right. getting, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And I can participate because I know that God's going to provide what I need for that at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Which also means letting him provide.
Mm-hmm.
And not trying to muscle it out myself.
Mm-hmm.
Last week we talked about the, our Father, you know, and yep. I said I was going to practice the, saying dad at the beginning of my
yes. Instead did you of, do that?
I did. It's pretty cool. Like, yeah? It's not bad. Yeah. At first it seemed weird because I felt like I was like, it felt like my dad had died and I was like talking to him, you know?
Yes.
You know how that happens in like movies or whatever. People are
as
like,
an
talking.
Angel. Yeah.
Yes. Talking to their dead loved ones. So I had to remind myself that's not who I'm really talking to. So I had to like, it takes a little bit of a shift,
mm-hmm.
but it made it like easier for me to talk in a way. Cause it felt more like he was intimately involved in like, I don't ever feel like, oh, I have to make sure I say the right thing, because like, mm-hmm. I'm guaranteed not to say the right thing, even when right. I'm praying. But it made it, I don't know, a little more accessible to me. So mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep doing it. I didn't do all it right. every time, but sure. there, you know. I did find it hard. So one of my kids was having a rough time last week, and she didn't even go to school one of the days mm-hmm. Because she was so filled with anxiety. And so I looked in our hymnal, first of all, for hymns, because there are some really good mm-hmm. songs, and like there's something about singing your words that right. hits different than just saying mm-hmm. them. And then I was like, oh, there's a bunch of prayers in here. So I went mm-hmm. to the front of the hymnal and I was like, oh, look at all these prayers. And then I was going to pray them with her, and the language was so holy
that it would like disassociate it or something.
Yeah, it wouldn't yeah. be genuine necessarily. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying the prayers were bad, but I found it frustrating.
Sure.
And then I was like, I should have just gone to a psalm, because I feel like the psalms are a little bit more
accessible.
Yeah. I don't want to say from the heart, because I'm not going to say those other prayers weren't written from the heart, but it's like there's not that layer of wording, perfect mm-hmm. wording. And, mm-hmm. you know,
yep.
there are a lot of psalms where it's like, oh, this is not great theology to live by, you know, but this is how that person's feeling at that mm-hmm. time. And it's, yeah, anyway. So
yeah, the psalms aren't necessarily instructional. I mean, I think they can be.
No, right.
But
right.
Yeah.
It's they show that it's okay to have feelings, and God's mm-hmm. not afraid of our feelings, and yep. we can
lament, so, and we can rejoice exactly. in all the things. Yeah.
Yeah. So I found the dad, starting off with dad. I did not do that with her, because I thought it would weird her out in the moment. But I have done that personally, and that has been very helpful.
Wow.
In a few moments. Yeah, I've had some, oof.
I didn't do it.
I know. That's okay. Because I knew that was my thing I needed to try. And I have really struggled the last 2 weeks. So it was good to
change
try
it up.
Something different.
Yeah.
So then I'm just like, okay, dad, you know what's going on.
And, I love that.
Yeah.
So. I love that. I think that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you have anything else with this?
I guess just that I'm still working on understanding what God's kingdom looks like here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm just scratching the surface of that. I don't know. I feel like there's more to discover. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
But I think, you know, even though Jesus talks about it all the time, it's still hard for me to rectify, like, that's not heaven he's talking about. Because I think the kingdom of heaven is, you know, immediately right. I think, no, he's talking about now, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
And so I'm still figuring it out. I don't know. But I think that in that process, it feels more like an adventure. And I like that, you know?
Yeah, because I
think it appeals to the adventure in my heart, for sure.
Yeah.
Because
I think there's this, we're going to have satisfaction. So on earth as it is in heaven, you know, when we do get to heaven, and then when we're, you know, when Jesus comes back and all that, there we will have a satisfaction in being in him. But I think there is, like you said, like there's still going to be a sense of adventure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God created
Yeah,
he created a garden,
right?
You know, where things yeah. grow and change and still aren't sinful. Like mm-hmm. there's still more to discover, and there's more beauty to appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he made us all with, in varying degrees, obviously, but with a right. sense of wanting that adventure. Yeah. So he's yeah. not going to leave us high and dry. He wants to feed that in us, I think.
Right. I think we find that, on earth right now, things are fraught with turmoil and I don't know.
Yeah.
When we get there, we're going to learn what really, what adventure is.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But heaven's not just some static, everything, no. every day the same kind of thing.
It's you know? Not clouds and harps, I don't think. No. I mean, that may be there. A right. cloud and a right. harp might be there, but I don't think that's the point. I do think that recently, it seems like he's opened my eyes to even like understanding that he's given me a tiny glimpse of the awesomeness that is his kingdom here, you know? Yes. And that it's like I can't even wrap my mind around it or fully comprehend even a sliver of it, but I'm like excited that he even gives me a glimpse into that on any level.
Right.
And I know that sounds like really woo-woo and crazy, but...
Nope. I think it sounds perfectly logical because that's what he wants for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Jesus is telling us to pray for this, you know, I sometimes am sad, you know, that since both of us work within the church realm, you mm-hmm. see a lot of people participate on Sunday mornings and do the bare minimum, and you think you are missing
yes.
out.
I think that all this the time.
Is so yes. much bigger. Like, so when we're struggling to find volunteers and stuff, I'm like, you guys don't understand that we're not just asking you to volunteer because we need hands, but this is good for you too. Mm-hmm. Like this is.
Well, and
you truly, get to be part of something that God is doing right now.
Yes. So. Yes. And truly, I think that, you know, so recently I've been trying to like personally identify people that I think would be good for certain things and ask them, you know.
Yes.
That's or, good. Or if they are emailing me to say, take me off this list, you know, mm-hmm. I'm like, can you come in? Can we have a conversation about what you're passionate about? Can we just, because I'm right. so curious to know how has God gifted you? What has he put on your heart to be excited about? How can we collaborate in that? Because I want to hang out with you. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
I want to do this with you because that makes it more fun for all of us, you know? Mm-hmm. It's so true. It is. There's yeah. so much more depth to be found in life and in faith when you are on a mission. It is.
Yeah.
And you can't yeah, do that absolutely. By sitting on the sidelines. You just can't do it.
Right.
So.
And I would add, too, that sometimes it colors the more tedious parts of life. If yes. I go into something thinking, ugh, I gotta right. do this and it's hard. Instead of going into it with, this is what God's put on my plate mm-hmm. for today. And this is going to serve a greater purpose. And, or this is not a big deal. This is just going to move on. And like,
yeah,
just to see things more as part of the adventure.
Right. A necessary evil. Or like he's growing patience in me. He's you know, growing all these other things in me through this.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How many times has it happened to you where there's something that you're like, oh, I got to go do this thing. Like, I really don't feel like doing this thing, but I got to go do this yep. thing. Mm-hmm. And when you show up, he's there with like all the stuff that either, you know, someone that yeah. you were supposed to talk to or,
yeah.
you know, something you were supposed to learn, or all of a sudden your eyes are open to something that you didn't realize before. And you're like, oh, look how awesome you are to bring even me and my like hesitant heart. You have brought right. this to me, you know? Yeah.
He's so good. I think.
I mean, that to even... be fair, Lauren, no one has taken me up yet on coming in to talk to me, and
isn't that so? Yeah,
they're like, I'm trying though, guys. I'm trying.
She's gonna rope me into something else.
I will.
Yep.
I will.
Yep.
But,
probably.
But it'll be good for you. Yeah.
Yes, and you're gonna love it. You'll love it. You will.
Let's hang out. I want to. Yeah.
Yeah.
I promise. I'm fun sometimes.
We didn't even talk about, I had written down election anxiety because that's also a thing, but we don't have to talk about that today. Kingdom of God,
we can talk about that in November.
We can. Okay, I was just gonna look over a couple more notes here, but mm-hmm. I think we're good. I mean,
yeah.
Yay. The light for this week. Mm-hmm. is that
brilliant.
I mean, I would think this, that God's kingdom is really, really good. Like, it's better than any other alternative that we're going to come up with.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I think, like, what a great God he is, too. I mean, mm-hmm. he's been, I mean, I have been seeking him for 40-some years, you know? We don't need mm-hmm. to be specific.
I don't know. Exactly. Might be somebody's birthday. Somebody's birthday's coming up.
But, and I feel like I'm just starting to grasp some of this, you know,
mm-hmm.
like it's yeah. just starting to, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, how good is he that he continues to reveal things to us in a way, you know, you think about the way Paul wrote too, mm-hmm. doesn't it seem like God's revealing things to him through all those letters in the New Testament?
Yes.
It feels like that to me. Like, he's still learning and growing in this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we are done with the light.
Yep.
Do we have an action?
What do you think the action should be, Lauren? I feel like this action is like... Okay, how about this one?
Mm-hmm.
What about... Read through the parables in the Bible where Jesus is like, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven yes. is like. Read through those and kind of think about that. Usually our actions aren't like, sit around and read something, you know?
Right.
Usually we're like, right. go do something. Mm-hmm. But I think in this instance, I think, unless everyone is like way beyond where I'm at with this, which they very well could be. And then your action is to write in about how you've seen the kingdom of heaven at work.
Do it. Yes.
Write us an email. Comment on our post.
Or.
Do that. But if you haven't, you know, if you're not there, yeah. I want you to read through the kingdom of heaven is like verses yeah. in the Bible. Yeah.
And it might say kingdom of God, and that's the same deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you can even record a voice recording mm-hmm. and then email it to us if mm-hmm. you know how to do that. And...
Oh, we could totally put a play him on here, you guys. It'd be so
fun.
Oh, my
gosh. It'd be so fun. You guys could hear another voice or your own voice.
Do it.
Yeah, I think so, because it can be kind of an abstract thing that we don't think about
mm-hmm.
quite so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's meant for today.
Yeah.
So.
For right now.
For right now. So which of us is praying today?
I think. I can't remember. I think it's you, though. I think it is.
Okay. Well, okay. We'll make it that way today. So, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being with us, for being in our conversation, and for being in this podcast. We pray not just for Monica and I as we work on it, but also for all the hearts and for all the ears and minds that will be receiving it. Lord, we pray for your kingdom to come in us, that we would receive it, that we would see and be grateful for all the ways that you're providing for us, and that we would also help bring it to those around us. Be in our neighborhoods, open our eyes to the ways where we can share your love, your joy, your peace, your beauty with the people who really need it. And all these things we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast episode today. We hope it blessed you. You can also reach us at lightinyourcorner@gmail.com or on Instagram at lightinyourcorner. Also, we live in a day and age where people don't really spend their time or money on things that they haven't read reviews of. So if you want to be helpful to somebody else who might be looking for a little bit of light to get through their days, hop on over to wherever you get podcasts and you can leave a review there. It's nice for us to read, but it also might be helpful to someone else. And we're all in this together. We love you guys so much. Have a great week.